Welcome to Idle Red Hands Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And what is Idle Red Hands Weekly? It was born in the Argo of the underworld, a realm in which a grifter might be a pickpocket, a crooked gambler, or a confidence man. Any criminal who relied on skill and wits rather than physical violence to be on the grift was to make a living by stings and clever thefts. It may have evolved from graft, a slightly older word, to mean acquired dishonestly, but its exact origins are uncertain. We do know that the verb first finagled its way into print in 1915 in George Bronson Howard's God's Man. Grifting ain't what it used to be.
Really? Is it that recent?
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. There's some grifting going on.
Oh, really? I wondered what the connection there was. Yeah.
So I have nothing but weird news this week. Yeah. So not really any personal updates, but just the things that are going on. And, you know, kind of, I think this was inevitable because the stuff I was talking about, like these companies are addicted to Kickstarter.
Oh.
And what are they doing, you know, with this money? They're getting some strange ideas.
Oh. Lay it on me.
So I guess the first thing directly connected to Kickstarter is a Kickstarter that was just canceled.
Okay.
And this is really, really bad. It looks really bad. It's Monolith, the French company that did the Conan miniatures game.
Okay. Okay. That's why I remember
they
the name.
Did
okay.
Maybe half the games you see on that shelf right there.
And that's a lot of them. Yeah.
They had a week-long Kickstarter, which is very short, but I guess they thought their reputation and everything was going to, you know, make this happen, called Beyond the Monolith.
Okay.
And it was a system, kind of a, there. So they've released both the Conan miniature system and the Batman miniatures game.
Okay, okay.
That are just like, it's just kind of area-based skirmish or fighting, right. But it's based on, it's like campaign, like there's campaigns that you follow.
I've looked at the Conan book, and right. Yeah, it kind of seems like linked scenarios that
yes,
kind of go through.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And so they're both similar mechanically. So someone decided, let's make this a universe and make a universal skirmish system. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be able to explain this well because they can't explain this well. The Kickstarter made no sense and basically looked like they were just trying to make people buy things they've already bought before because it's a whole new world of interconnected world. So Batman can fight the monsters from Conan and...
Conan can fight the Batman villains? Okay.
Right? It's just this nonsense. So they have a thing that they call the River, which is basically the main control board that is your initiative track.
Right. Okay.
And you lay the character cards down and they just kind of, you know, you slide them down as they're activated. And so they're going to standardize that because the Batman one was blue and the Conan one was brown. And so now there's a black one that's the universal version and you can put any characters, any cards there. So you bought this core system that gave you that. And then you could buy these packs and scenarios that added a bunch of miniatures that you've already bought if you own any of these games. But you probably will need more of them because you want to be able to have 10 or 7 or whatever this the campaign. And then you get a booklet that describes the campaign that you can play with these characters. And basically, it's just kind of a mashup skirmish game.
Hmm. Okay. Like, so far, I'm not... I kind of have an eyebrow raised because it does sound like they're... And when you say someone made, I'm assuming you mean Monolith.
Yes, yes.
It sounds like they've kind of are recycling a lot of stuff they have already put out. But I'm kind of wondering what happened because while I would kind of go, I don't need that.
Right.
So far, nothing seems incredibly sketchy to me because like maybe like here's a new miniatures pack
right.
Maybe you already have some of them but it's a different combination and here's a booklet of scenarios to play with the included miniatures, maybe some of the scenarios you've seen before but maybe you know we've mashed them together and a new board. So it sounds like some of the stuff is new-ish at least for the way it's packaged I don't see how it's grifting yet.
Well, if you sell the prices.
Okay. Okay.
So each one of these monster packs and these scenario upgrades were like $50 a piece.
Okay.
And they contained a lot of plastic, but it's stuff they already had. So it cost them just another run on the same dies, the same molds they already have.
Or maybe these are the leftovers or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. The campaign itself was really, really deceptive and didn't even show gameplay. Like they just tried to describe and that like there were moderators or things in the updates that were trying to say, okay, well, it kind of works like this and it's kind of like this. And people are still, I don't understand. And basically it really feels like they are trying to draw back in all of the people that have followed the hype of their previous games and have purchased everything. Because another aspect to this was, we'll link your account to our website and for every campaign that you've already sponsored, we're going to give you a discount on this campaign. But the discount count average about like, 5 to 10% for the most part. So it's like, it's not really rewarding any sort of loyalty, and they're asking you to rebuy things, and the kind of base pledge for all in to get everything that's going to be involved in this new system was almost $400.
Whoa.
Yeah. €385.
Right. That's a lot.
Everything looked really expensive and really odd. And I guess it kind of makes sense to, you know, come up with some kind of universal thing, right, and you buy it once, and then they have less that they have to put in a box. They just have to put the new minis and things that are different. But it didn't seem like they were doing that. This campaign was very, very poorly
written
and handled and structured, and it didn't make any sense. And so it seemed to just be a way to trick people that have already supported them and trust Monolith. It's like, oh, I guess I should just buy all of this because there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up, and I should have all of these things. And there wasn't, it was really, really unclear what exactly they were doing. I mean, they were adding, they had another original kind of expansion for Conan that they said, if you already own the game, you don't want to invest in the new system, you can just buy this campaign with the new miniatures and cards, but you know, you're missing out on this, and this is the future, and this is what we're going to be doing. And the first thing that a lot of people felt was, well, why are you going to kind of limit everything, every board game you're going to do in the future to this same system that not everyone is 100% in love with? It's not a great system.
Well, I mean, you can't please everybody, right? Yeah, or if you try to please everybody, you're going to please nobody.
Right.
So I'll have to go and look at it.
Yes.
But based on what you described, I wonder why they didn't just release a conversion thing with a new Batman scenario and maybe like a new Conan scenario.
Right.
Like, hey, a Kickstarter for a new Conan scenario with conversion rules or, you know, stuff where you could actually also use it in, I guess, Gotham or whatever.
Right.
Which seems kind of weird. But anyway.
Yeah, so this focus was Conan. This was like Conan expansions and monsters. It was all the Conan miniatures, which is a considerable amount. I mean, I've got two giant
huge boxes,
like 200-300 of these insane amount of plastic, and they're just kind of restructuring it and trying to resell it with, you know, as being part of this new system. Now it's compatible, and I don't quite understand. I guess they're just trying to make sure anybody that ever bought anything from them now buys everything. They canceled. They canceled the funding. They were at about 250,000 euros, and their goal was 700,000. So it didn't look like they were going to make
like,
it.
They're like, what? So that's like a quarter.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe I won't go look at it. Well, I mean, canceled pages stay up.
Yeah, right. It's still there. And so it's an interesting thing to look at, because I don't think you're going to be able to make any sense out of like what they're even offering, because they're not demonstrating in any concrete way. Like there's no video of people doing a playthrough and saying, this is what you can do now. And isn't this amazing? It's just like an odd motion graphics showing you, and it slots in and all the, it's like, what
and
exactly?
The cards slide down this river. And you're like, didn't they always do that?
Right. And so now I have a different color piece of plastic and more of the same tokens and stuff that I've always had. And maybe they're setting
you'll
neutral.
Have it all.
I can't believe I lost my opportunity. So it just doesn't make any sense. And people in the comments are talking about Monolith is having a lot of defectors now.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And so there's people coming up with these clever ideas to restructure. And that seemed to be the thing, because that I don't know how sustainable that is, that addiction to like keep producing these giant board games that are filling up people's shelves. I mean, the five games, they're talking about Claustrophobia, Mythic Battles, Conan, Batman, and maybe that's it. Those were huge releases, huge Kickstarters. And if you own like the full pledge for all of those, you have an entirely full closet. It's really strange.
Doubly so for Japanese closet.
That they're going back in. I don't know. It shows the kind of limitations of this business model. And they're trying to rethink something, and they're doing a really bad job of trying to re-explain what the potential is. It kind of made sense that, okay, we'll come up with a universal system and try to take some of the stuff out of the box that you probably already own. But that's not how it ended up working. Like what they ended up presenting was, you better pay us $400 and get on board with this, because you've already, you know, invested in things that we've done. You know that we do quality stuff, and now we're going to do this. Yeah.
No, some people did it.
It was
25% funded.
Yeah, right. That was weird and disappointing. And I was happy to see that people just kind of called bullshit on it and were just like, and because the comments, once you see like over 2,000 comments in just a few days, you're like, yeah, people are arguing. That's not just a bunch of, let's go, guys. Yeah. That's a bunch of people going, what is this? And what exactly are you trying to pull? So there's that.
Okay.
And another.
There's more madness. Right. Okay.
Another company. And this is like a very complicated grift, I think. But another company that we've mentioned previously. So Come On.
Okay.
Our buddies at Come On that are also addicted to Kickstarters and also produce an insane amount of plastic. They did a demonstration, or they had a demonstration of this at Gen Con. And they are partnering This is just goofy. They are partnering. Sorry. Simon is partnering with Explored. Explored with no E at the beginning, just Explored,
okay,
is a Italian technology company. And they've mostly done mobile games for kids, okay, kind of tablet-based. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of experience with like tablet and interactive stuff with devices, touch-based devices.
So that really intersects with miniatures, huh?
Well, here it goes.
Okay, I'm waiting for it, yeah.
So you love Zombicide, right? Zombicide has millions of players around the world.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, how about if you could play Zombicide half on a tablet, half on the board? The tablet knows where your pieces are on the board, mm-hmm, because you fold out this giant sensor thing that, okay, that you put the physical board on top of. Everybody uses their smartphone as the dashboard for their characters, and the dice contain sensors, so when you roll them, the tablet knows the results of the dice.
Okay, I've seen dice that have sensors in, right, them, Bluetooth dice that pair to things, and my thought was, why?
Right.
That was why.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there's an application for Bluetooth paired dice with sensors. I don't know what it is, and it seems, right, kind of silly to me. So this kind of seems like another extension. But, I mean, I get the desire to utilize technology so that people who would not be able to play with each other can play with each other. When you said you roll out a mat and you put your board on top of it, the thing I thought of was the old like Nintendo pad you put on the floor
for dance,
yeah,
games,
for like dance games, whatever. I mean, and those worked great back when I was a kid. Yeah, so yeah, it seems kind of,
yeah.
Okay, seems kind of weird. Yeah, there's more.
I haven't even told you the name yet.
Okay,
the name of this technology. Well, the name of this project that people have pronounced various ways, and my favorite one so far is Tiburu.
Okay. T-U-B-U-R-U?
So it's T-E-B-U-R-U. And obviously,
Is it a bad Japanese pronunciation,
yes,
of table?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So you would probably be pronouncing this Teburu.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't tell you that, and it's an Italian company, so why would they use a katakana spelling with Roman characters of a Japanese word?
I don't know.
We don't know. So it's, many people are saying, I'm interested in this new Tiburu. So the trick to using Japanese is it's not very compatible with English once you're over three syllables, because you want to accent one of those syllables, and Japanese is not accented. So you're going to say something very strange that doesn't sound Japanese. And that's exactly what people are doing. They're like, the Tiburu,
yeah,
is
taboo.
So yeah, it's kind of the Japanese katakana table. That's what they're trying to say. And so the first game they're going to do this for, they're going to do a Kickstarter, of course, and it's got to be an expensive. Going to be really expensive. Is they're going to do Zombicide Evolution Las Vegas. So basically, they're, you know, their popular Zombicide game, which is a tile-based killing zombies game where there's tokens and miniatures and dice.
I played like it once.
Right. And so sensors go in the base of the miniatures. The dice have sensors. The board knows what tokens and things are on there and where. And it kind of has a main control of a what they showed is an iPad.
Right.
So basically you have an app that's controlling everything. And it seems like there's a lot of room for error. There's a lot of things that the device misses, or if the software glitches, it's just like your game crashed, board game crashed.
So it's like all the benefits of a board game with all the drawbacks of a video game.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, corrupted save file. Great. Let's do this again.
Yeah.
And let's put all the pieces back.
Right. So this has been tried before. A company did a game called Golem Arcana.
And
I've heard of that. Yeah, you laid boards out, and basically it relied on like a reader pen. So I think you inputted what was going on with I don't know if it was QR code or some sort of reader. So you would input the miniatures and everything and set up the game. So basically you could only play the game on the tablet, or you could kind of follow in reality what was happening
on the
simulation was telling you, you know, what was happening. And they had nice miniatures for it, but it was just an odd game, and it's like the physical thing became very unnecessary because basically the tablet game was just playing itself.
Right.
And it sounds like they're going to run into a little bit of the same problem where you're just watching a game played on a tablet and you're like, oh, okay, so I'm gonna move here. And okay, it's just like, it's kind of duplicating something.
Right.
So it does some, you know, it does bookkeeping, and it'll help with, you know, random events. And actually it looks like it has sound and dialogue. There'll be like little cutscenes and things that appear on the tablet, but to play a game, you're going to need a tablet and four phones and a board game and this big sensor map and dice with sensors in it and on and you know, everything is all that, all the electronics. And it just seems like it's going to be really expensive, and it's, the technology is just not quite there yet to do anything. I mean, if you're trying to do, because it's not augmented reality, and that would be like
an augmented board game.
Right. So that would seem like the next step for doing something on the tabletop is people are seeing something represented virtually that's there, that's kind of augmenting, you know, their cardboard and their dice. So it's not that. So it's this weird kind of thing. And this has already been done with board games like Mansions of Madness or XCOM. Those board games use the iPad app to control, you know, the same kind of thing, some bookkeeping and some kind of random events, and give you a little bit of, you know, music and sound and stuff. You know, that's okay, but it still relies on somebody having a working and somewhat updated iPad that, you know, they have to load this app on.
You know what I wonder this is?
What?
The connection point is, I recently read that Nerf might make ammunition and Nerf guns with chips in them so that you could only use official Nerf darts in Nerf guns. I wonder if this is companies going, 3D printing is putting a dent in our miniature sales. Let's put chips in them
to try and get
around that, because no, it doesn't matter how many zombicide miniatures you print, you can't use them with our game unless you somehow also get a chip. And I'm not saying that's definitely it. I'm wondering if that is part of the push to this kind of like hybrid style games.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think people are worried about what that's going to mean, because it is cheap to print 3D. It still doesn't have the resolution, and you have to really fuss a lot to get things to look as decent as a tabletop. And that was the funny thing about their demo that they were showing, is it was unpainted board game miniatures with, you know, sensors in the chips, and it just did not look very impressive, and that name just kills me. But the CEO of Come On is saying, we're excited to bring new technology and gameplay innovations to the tabletop with the Taburu. But we expect that this will both excite existing tabletop gamers and draw a whole new audience to tabletop games. So I guess then that's why they partnered with a kids app development.
Okay, that at least makes sense.
Yeah, okay. They're trying to like bring people in. It's like, oh, you like to touch screens and stuff. You don't like cardboard and plastic. So that's what they're doing.
But you still got to use the cardboard and plastic.
Yeah, somewhat. Exactly. Yeah. So it's a crossover thing. And the Explored CEO said, Come On immediately understood the groundbreaking potential of our technology as it applied to board games. And so this is a multi-patent technology that they're really bragging on. And it seems like it's going to be a bunch of cheap Chinese sensor manufacturing that may or may not last multiple play sessions.
No.
So we strongly believe Taburu is the paradigm change that the market is looking for. So
you know what I think this is going to be? The old 80s VHS cassette board game thing.
Right. It'll be
I can't think of any examples, but they do exist where you're like, you play this tape as you're playing, and it does something, and it's like, yeah, this seems like a way to utilize current, because VHS cassette players were current at one time, current technology with a board game.
Right. This is another strange thing that a board game company that's tired of making board games and wants to reach a bigger audience. I guess they figured out they've got all the customers they're going to get, because they always get $2 million every time they launch a board game. So what can we do? Take some of that money and kind of...
So now let's get $1 million, because the other doesn't sound very good. Yeah.
Right. And another company decided to throw their hat into the ring with all this madness. So Riot Games just recently announced that they have that they now have a tabletop board game department.
Okay.
So Riot Games is the creator of League of Legends.
Okay, yeah.
Probably the most toxic, most horrible, and most poorly designed. I mean, it just looks like they downloaded a certain section of DeviantArt and decided that's all their character art.
Their characters
are terrible.
I can imagine what it looks like now.
The player base is terrible, but it is the most watched and played, you know, online game ever. And it was free. They started it as free. They had a store where you unlocked characters and then also like skins and things for characters and, you know, like cosmetic things. And they were instantly millionaires. Then they decided, well, we want to expand and become global and support. So let's sell, you know, some of our interest to Tencent, the Chinese game company. And now Tencent 100% owns this. And the fools that started this company are just, you know, kind of watching from the sidelines as this. I think they probably made out okay. I mean, yeah, because if Tencent's buyout probably made them rich. But as far as they're not going to see, it's still the most popular game ever. And they personally are not going to see any more wealth from that.
So they didn't sign like royalty.
Probably not. No, from what I've heard, they're just like, you know, they're drawing a salary and still involved, but they had their payday already and it's done. So if you are one of those people that is very driven, you probably want to be moving on to something else because it's over.
Mm.
And recently Riot Games had the sexual harassment scandal and walkout protests. So why is Riot making board games? Well, they say we're gamers. That means more to us than just video games. You can tell by the piles of board games, miniatures, and role-playing books stacked around the office, so it is natural to explore what would happen if we brought the Riot perspective to tabletop games.
Which is what? Sexual harassment and walkouts?
And terrible character design? We call it Riot Tabletop.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's odd because they've already released a game. They took kind of they did like a chibi version of kind of some of the character design, like maybe some of the artists that they use for their characters.
Okay.
They did like a chibi version and they released a game called Mechs and Minions. And it's basically like a MOBA board game. But the funny thing that they did that shows that they still got all that Chinese money is they asked Tom Vassell from Dice Tower and Quentin Smith from Shut Up and Sit Down to, you know, take a look at this and tell us what would make an interesting game. So basically they're asking experienced critics of board games to design their game for them and tell them what would be a very popular marketable game. And I'm sure they paid them very well.
Oh, probably.
For
that opinion.
So they've already released a game and the next game that they're working on is a fantasy based bluffing game called King's Gambit. So Tellstones, King's Gambit. Yeah. So they're just going to keep doing this. I guess they have, you know, money to burn and, you know, why not? And you know, if they're owned by China, then they've got direct access to Chinese manufacturing.
Oh, yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
they've got a pretty good way to do the manufacturing of this. But really? 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 Come
That's
on.
That's the theme of this episode. Nope, they're not Cool Mini or not.
They're not. It's Come On is going to be the name of all of these companies pretty soon. It's amazing. Yeah, so that was just, what? I mean, yeah, it's very odd. So now they're involved. All of these strange people kind of struggling in the tabletop world to innovate and involve technology. But we didn't mention this last week, but it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Previous to last week's cast is Fantasy Flight Interactive shuttered their department. They were purchased by Asmodee, and I heard that Asmodee already has a digital department, so it may have been a kind of downsizing idea of like redundancy. So maybe some of those people didn't lose their job, but now they live in France or something.
Right. Oh, maybe. but didn't they also lose their tabletop RPG department?
Yes.
I don't know how those two were connected, the interactive department and the RPG department. Maybe not at all. But yeah, that's what I heard. Both got shuttered.
Yeah. So one of the director of the interactive, he posted on his LinkedIn about interactive being gone. But then Gamasutra, who's reporting about that, you know, it's a digital game studio closing. Gamasutra reported that there are also layoffs. People on Reddit were saying like massive layoffs. And I don't know how big Fantasy Flight may not be that big because they just reported 10.
Okay.
But they said that that was the entire RPG
department.
So the reactions to that were not great because there are some people that are, you know, very excited about the
Genesis system.
Yeah, the Genesis system and the things that Fantasy Flight has been producing for the RPG world because they've got some great IPs. They've got Star Wars. They had Warhammer.
And they had Android.
And Android. So it was very sad. Before I'm on a group that is Star Wars Legends of the Galaxy, who's basically like a fan group that's supporting, or just like a player community supporting all the Star Wars Fantasy Flight games, released a call to action. And they were basically talking about this. And they said, so they don't know 100% for sure. Fantasy Flight has not confirmed it, but this could mean that they will cease producing any more, they'll cease supporting the Star Wars role-playing game, meaning Edge of the Empire, Age of Rebellion, Force and Destiny, the Genesis games, Realms of Terranoth RPG, the Legend of the Five Rings RPG, Keyforge, Secrets of the Crucible, Android, Shadows of the Beanstalk, which we played this past.
Yep, we played last week, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be, that's a shame because Genesis is pretty new, like a year old?
I think it's older than a year, but it's fairly new.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think maybe 2017, like they released like just the core book, you know, the kind of the system.
And, the system neutral core book. That's fairly recent. I mean, the Star Wars one has been around longer than that.
Yeah, but. And I think they've been evolving that system because all of those, even their Warhammer 3rd edition Warhammer Fantasy used the special dice.
Yeah.
So they've been kind of playing with that system of boons and banes and successes and difficulties, complications
threats.
for a while. Yes, threat. That's right.
Threats, triumph, despair, advantage and failure, I think, and success. Yeah.
Yes. Right, right. So if you are a fan of the Star Wars RPGs or a fan of the Genesis system, this group is at least encouraging you, and they have all the information that you need to do this, to contact Asmodee and say, this means a lot to us. You know, please create an Asmodee RPG department or something that's going to save these games. So yeah, the Star Wars Legends of the Galaxy group community is very unhappy about that. And they posted a lot of information and saying, you know, be polite, but please let them know how important this is to us. And it's be respectful, as we are unaware of the influences that made these decisions, but please reiterate that the community as a whole stands behind this RPG department. So that was very, very sad news. So as we have all of these bloated board game companies doing
things,
we're losing.
Let's start a new TTRPG department. I'm like, you just kind of lost one.
Right. People were also talking about Asmodee purchased Fantasy Flight and is now downsizing. So maybe they're preparing to just be sold off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of shady. I've never, just in tabletop, you know, miniatures games and RPGs and stuff, there's so many shady European things. And I think Asmodee is basically, it's a French financial company that's managing them.
Oh,
so
okay.
They may just be kind of packaging, because the best thing to do if you want your books to look really good is just lay off a bunch of people, because that's pure profit. You know, everything you pay in salary is now going to make that quarter look incredibly profitable.
Yeah, good point. I hadn't thought of that.
So people are kind of, and who knows? I mean, the internet just says whatever it says, but they are saying that this could be a bad thing. But Asmodee is, they have their hands on a lot of board games, production of a lot of board games. So we're going to see a little bit of a change if they get bought and sold and cut up. It's not going to be good for board games in general. Mm-hmm. But good news.
Oh.
I'm saying kind of sarcastically, GW is now at Target. You can buy. So this is funny, because this is very kind of retro. This kind of was very nostalgic for me, because Toys R Us, you know, and Children's Palace
doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Those things that don't exist anymore. Yeah. But they used to carry GW games, like the box game Space Marine and
Space Marine.
So you could buy GW games at toy stores.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
And now Target is going to carry Space Marine Adventures, which is kind of a repackaged. It's Space Marines versus Necron, and it's a tile based, like, you know, 1-4 players, a cooperative game where you're killing Necron, your Space Marines killing Necrons. But they're going to release expansions, so you can kind of change things up. So this might be a nice introduction. And I think it's the colored plastic too. Yeah. So Space Marines are blue and Necrons are gray,
silver
gray. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's funny. So that's going to give a lot more visibility and make it a lot more widespread. I mean, you know, Target's a big discounter. They have a big board game section. And,
they do. Yeah. And so it's all Monopoly.
Yeah, right.
I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for the GW Monopoly.
It exists.
Oh, I take it back. I was not, in fact, waiting for it. Yep.
There is a 40K Monopoly. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, and I guess Barnes & Noble is paying for exclusive rights to carry some expansions that won't be sold at Target.
Barnes & Noble still exists?
Yeah, Barnes & Noble is trying to get into. They have an exclusive version of the Dune board game, the remake of the Dune board game.
Hey, you got
to
do something to stay relevant.
Yeah. So they're trying to be involved. But that was funny. That just made me, that brought me back. I was like, wow, to see, like, you know, 40K things in a big box discount store. That's pretty funny, because
that's what it used to be. Yeah,
right. Yeah, they become very.
I think that's where I bought HeroQuest.
Oh, right.
The Milton Bradley thing. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's back to those days when they were kind of a, you know, more mainstream company that produced games that, you know, people could afford.
I mean, now they're producing games for everyone, but can people afford them? I don't know.
Sorry for all of the weird, ugly news this week, but it was just amazing. These stories just kept piling up, and I'm like, well, we should probably talk about all of this, because
it's all horrible.
It's a very weird week. Yeah. It's a lot of strange stuff. So yeah, we'll see what Monolith does besides try to put themselves out of business by making bad. I mean, they had such a great track record on Kickstarter, and then they do this weird move, and now we're gonna have all these devices attached to our board games, and it's gonna be
who knows, maybe it'll work.
I don't know. I think you're right, though. It's VHS, you know, it's a VHS tape inside of a board game box. It's like, all right, well, we're gonna see how far this goes, because probably that technology is cheap now.
You know,
sensors and RFID chips and whatever they're using.
Actually, it's like, why not try and use it?
Yeah, go for it. Use all that Kickstarter money that I mean, they're not taking any risk, because this is all going to be paid for in advance. Yeah.
That's what Kickstarter is for, though. Yeah.
Right. It's not a pre-order. So that's it for this week. If you'd like to get in touch with Idle Red Hands, please visit idleredhands.com. You can find us on YouTube and Twitch at Idle Red Hands. And of course, follow us on Twitter at Idle Red Hands. If you'd like to support the website and become a patron, please visit patreon.com/idleredhands and get involved. All right. So that's all the bad news for this week. We'll see you again next week. Bye.
Bye, mortals.